Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Hallelujah. I receive and I believe your wisdom and your power to the nations. Come to Jesus. Exalted, I believe and I receive your wisdom and your power. Exalted, I receive and I manifest your power and your wisdom to the nation.
See Jesus lifted up, glorified.
Father, we give you praise. I heard that sound somewhere and it blessed me. Amen. Okay, let's get into the word. I'll just give you the tips of a tip of an iceberg. All right. Kabod is 2 days, right?
Yes,
2 days. So let's just have a tip of an iceberg. I hope you've shared the service for other people to hear. There's a scripture we quoted, I think one of the first scriptures of Sundays, that the proof that you truly understand you are a holy nation, a peculiar people, and that you've been called from darkness into light is that you what? Show forth the praise of his glory. I mean, you take the gospel paraphrasing to other people, isn't it? If God truly happened to you, you want him to happen to everybody. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So let's get into the word. Ephesians 4 from verse 24. I'll read three renditions. I'll read the NKJV. I'll read the NLT. I'll read the Amplify. 4, probably. And I'll read the TPT. So let's start with the NKJV. Everybody want to go? It says, and what? Alright, let's get something straight. Maybe we start from verse 20. Let's read together. Everyone want to go. But you have so learned Christ, right? So Paul was trying to compare two characteristics in this part of scripture. Hallelujah to Jesus. If you look at Ephesians 4, what comes to your mind first? You remember from verse 10, 11 and 12. What's that? Perfecting of the saints. So you now understand why he said, but you have so learned Christ. So he's trying to take people from their mind to be focused, shifted from one focus to another. So since they've been equipped by the fivefold ministry to the end that they understand God and do the work of the ministry to the end of edifying the body of Christ, Paul had to now say, okay, on the strength of these, I think verse 15 says something beautiful. It says, maybe from verse 14, it says, but we that have known Christ cannot be tossed to and fro, right? By every wind of doctrine, from man's wisdom, deceitful ideologies, I mean, from what? Man's wisdom. I feel inspired to say something. I was talking with somebody, I think early this evening, maybe from 4 thereabout, I guess. And it's somebody I just met coincidentally while I was fixing my car many years back. So we kind of started talking. Hallelujah to Jesus. I wonder if we became fond of each other, but I just remember the kind of world we are in. Amen. So we exchanged contacts and we're just talking online. He's in town. Nice guy. And one time, I think just recently I saw his status, he was complaining bitterly about the church. A lot of times I try to avoid all of these discussions. I don't like to get involved at all. That is why if you check my social media handle, you hardly see me talking about problem, doctrinal issues and the rest. Because some people just paint you black. Amen? And I feel a lot of times people grow and perspective change. So you can go and say something and somebody will now see you one kind and be hitting on you till he now becomes wise and start liking you again. Amen? So a lot of times I just keep quiet, except it's pressing and it's very important I speak out, then I can speak out. Hallelujah to Jesus. So he was speaking against about the church and he was so bitter. He feels like the church is one of the problems of Nigeria. And somehow I was like, Holy Spirit, I don't know why people are still hitting on the church so much. So I wanted my spirit to be calmer. Let me understand why. I'm not saying their views are right. But why is it that people are so interested in talking about the church? Something to think about. It's too much. How many of you have observed that? Everybody, church. Why? So I was just thinking. I really didn't want to reply him. But I actually messaged him. And I said, the church is not a problem. All night, you know, there's a certain man who wants to become a president. And he online, firstly, I had my perspective before now. You know, I had a person in mind, and I'm a pastor. I'm not supposed to come and tell you who I want to be president. It's not my business. Well, let me not say it's not my business. It's not the responsibility for me to do. You should know who to vote for. Are we together? Even though sometimes I'm tempted to say, oh, maybe I've said it in a stylish way. Hallelujah to Jesus. So if for instance, sometimes the reason why we make choices, some choices because of the kind of choice we have. You know what I mean by that? If you had the option of going to two or three government schools, you have to choose to any of the government schools. The end of what you choose is a government school because the options you have is what? Government school. You get what I'm trying to say. But if you have a good private school and a government school, you probably choose a private school. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Because you have an option to choose that. What I'm saying is because sometimes the reason why we choose people to become, we have a choice of people up there. We have to choose one to become president because that's the only choice we have. If they are to leave those people outside and say, just pick anybody, those people would not be in one first 1,000. It is the truth. And you know, sometimes the devil, I said to my wife, I said, this man, something is happening to his heart. He doesn't know he's a devil. I said, he should calm down a little bit. It's because of the scripture I'm even sharing that. I said, he's a devil. And he will just use his hand to scatter everything that he's standing for. I said, take for instance, indeed, some of us pastors agree that some churches are misrepresenting God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We agree. Today a lot of things happen. I was in days with my wife for checkup, and sometimes I like to check myself too. So I wanted to check myself. I check my eyes and rest. Amen. I know some of you are surprised. I do it too. You to do it once in a while. It's good to check yourself. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Somebody told me one day, why do you check yourself? What do you want to hear? I said, I want to hear the fact so that I apply faith. Is that foolishness? I want to hear what? So that I apply what? If I hear a wrong fact, I apply my faith. But I cannot be living like that. You know, somebody one time made a mistake. I used to know the person many years ago. He made a mistake He slept with someone that was HIV positive. And when we spoke about it, he now said he has faith that he is not HIV positive. So, I said, this is not faith, it is foolishness. Confidently, I told him, I said, it is what? Foolishness, it's not faith. I said, you be in this thing, and he wants to get married. He said he wants to get married. I said, no problem. How can I have a problem with you marrying somebody that is HIV positive? With all the information you have, some of us here that have a lot of information about not discriminating those folks. It doesn't matter if you marry an HIV person, isn't it? What? Look at how you people are replying me. You see, some of this thing we learn is just for learning sake. We don't even believe it. You did all of these things in biology and the rest. They taught you that you should not discriminate these folks. You know, these NGOs, they come around, they talk to you, you know. And they tell you, even if you share spoons, nothing will happen. Yet, some of you don't share the spoons. She used the spoon? Yes. No. This information, we have to be using it. So I don't have a problem with him getting married, but I said, you have to check yourself. You know, you can marry somebody who is HIV positive and have children that are not HIV positive. Hope you know that. I'm not advocating that everybody should go and start looking for such people to marry. I'm just saying it's a possibility. God will not, because of that sickness, tell you not to marry somebody. I know you don't like what I'm saying, but it's the truth. You think people that are HIV positive don't have a place in God's will? God doesn't have something for them? I mean, the moment you become HIV positive, your purpose in life is scattered. So some of you... let me not prophesy that. Alright. I wanted to say something, but I just say, let me just keep quiet. But what if your husband or wife... Alright, so... I said, that's foolishness. You are rejecting it, right? Some people are praying in tongues to reject what they say. And I said, it's wrong. Hallelujah to Jesus. So that's why I do check up. I told him it's wrong, and I just, you know, I couldn't help him because I don't know what to tell him again. But he wouldn't really listen. I just wonder how everything went. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. That's where I know I'll stop. So you see, the Bible says when we know Christ, we cannot be carried about with every wind of doctrine. By what? By what? The trickery of men. Give me this in the TPT. Let me see something. I know two people that can do justice to this, NLT and TPT. It said, nor led, he said, and then our immaturity will end, and we will not be easily shaken by trouble, nor led astray by novel teachings or by the false doctrines of deceivers who teach clever lies. Who teach what? Clever lies. It's a clever lie, oh. Have you heard a clever lie before? Especially ladies. NLT rendition. It's true. You ladies know it. You can lie clever lies. Very intelligent lies. That's what we're talking about. The one somebody will not figure out. Hallelujah to Jesus. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever they sound like the truth. You see that? Are you here? I wish you can really get what God is saying in this place. That's what Paul meant for when he explained Hebrews 2 and 14 thereabout. He said, when you know Christ, you know, the scripture came to my mind. That's one problem I have sometimes. When I'm quoting the scripture, another one comes. And I just remember the scripture in Galatians that said, if we know him or are known by him. Can you remember that scripture? It said, when we know Christ or are known by him, you can encounter God in true knowledge. When you know Christ or are known by him, that's an encounter. Damien, where is your jota? Huh? Where's your jota? Is that Damien? What's his name? He looks exactly like Damien. But where is his jota actually? Like, it's okay, it's fine. Since he's new, next time come with jota, right? Sorry, I called you Damien. I think Damien is in your department too. Hallelujah to Jesus. Alright, so this is where we were. It says in Hebrews 2, was it 14? It said, strong meat belong to those who by use of age, use of heat, have what? Come into maturity, and at that point where they can tell the difference between what? Wrongs and rights. And it calls strong meat words of righteousness. So when you understand the words of righteousness, meaning the words that describe your person in Christ, the words about your personality, the Bible says you come to a point by the use of that ideology, that understanding, that you can tell the difference between what wrongs and what right. That's discernment, coming to a point of discernment. And you can never walk in the gift of discernment or in discernment except you are fully grounded by the word of God or in the word of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, and I think Paul says it again in another way in Romans 12, right? It says when it comes to living for God, or when it comes to offering your body as the most reasonable sacrifice to God, like God entails, it says it's a function of not being conformed, verse 2, to the system of the world, but by being what? Transformed by the renewal of your mind. It said at that point, you can now prove God's will, that is either good or permissible or what? Acceptable. Is that not what he said? So by proving God's will, by when you come to know God's will, when you know God's will, which is a function of your mind getting renewed by the word, what happens? If you know it, you live it. And how do you live it? With your body. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? The word was made flesh and dwelt. So we will never see the word of God in action except through the flesh. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So what Paul is saying in Romans 12 is that your body cannot be truly offered, or it will be wrongly offered, except you understand God's will for your life by the renewal of your mind. So for instance, there are people that dress in a certain way without consulting the word of God yet, because they think that way leads them to God. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? You get to God to know how to dress. You don't dress well to get to, you don't dress in a certain way to get to God. It is your encounter with God that teaches you how to dress. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? So you don't dress in a certain way, a decorum, so that God will be pleased by it. No. If you started dressing in a certain way before you knew God, your dressing is just redundant. It doesn't prove anything. There are some people that don't wear earrings. They dress in a certain way because they think God will be pleased by it. Meanwhile, you know, one time I was telling some people, I knew they don't know God, but they were not wearing earrings and the rest, and they felt like sisters with earrings and the rest are going to hell. So, when I saw the way they were behaving, I checked the scriptures diligently, and I saw in the book of Isaiah that God describes Zion as a woman that adorns herself with jewelries, earrings, adorns herself. So, and I said, look at what the Bible says about Zion, the church. The heavenly Jerusalem, that it is like a woman that what adorns herself with what jewelries. That's if God says this, then why do you think not wearing earrings takes you closer to God? Hallelujah to Jesus. And they were quite confused. So the Bible calls that kind of act dead works in what? Righteousness. That's why when people are claiming, we're offering our body, you look at them, they don't have the knowledge of God's word, and they are claiming that they are offering their body, ignorant of God's word. That way is just dead work in righteousness. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? They do things in a certain way because they want to capture God. They feel when they do it like God, like that, God is pleased. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Are you here this evening? Amen. All right, so go back to where we were. In Ephesians 4, right? All right, there's one rendition I said again. Am I done with everything? Okay, so go back to NKJV. See, when we know Christ, we cannot be tossed to and fro by what? deceitful ideology. So I was speaking about that man, isn't it? Because when you don't know Christ, your discernment ability, your discerning ability is not activated yet. You will talk like a mere man. You will speak, you will think it's wisdom, but it's just a clever lie. It's just foolishness. The Bible says, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end of it is what? Death. It takes people that are really clever in God, clever in the knowledge of God, or by the wisdom of God, through the Holy Spirit, to look at you and tell you you are wrong. So when I saw the video yesterday, in all sincerity, I will tell you as a prophet, I looked at it and I said, this is a great mistake. As a prophet, I said, this is the greatest, one of the greatest mistakes this man has made. And I told my wife, I said, you see, when you look at, okay, I told the young man, we're talking about the thing with, because he was so bitter about the church, so bitter. I said, no problem. You see, the truth is that I'm not so proud of the present state of the church. I tell you the truth. But I can tell you, you know, like what I started saying on Sunday, some of the fathers of faith you see up there, you think they hate the church so much that they want to just live in ignorance. If for instance you think any of them is in ignorance, you think so? No. Some of them, they are not opportune to know some of the things we know. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They were not opportune. But if you look at them, they truly have a heart for God. And that's where you judge them from. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? Do you people get what I'm trying to say? Very important. They truly have a heart for God. Now, these ones now, you can't call them false prophets because their motive is pure. Who are false prophets? The ones that will stand up to want to do false things. They want to use godliness as a means of getting money. Those ones, we call them false by default. You can't tell me somebody is rising up to sell this and sell that and he's not a false prophet. He's a false prophet. And those ones, now, as they are doing those things, they are giving the church a bad name. Like what someone told one of the soldiers, we're talking about it in FOSB. He said to me, he said, they didn't know I was a pastor. I was playing snooker with them while my wife was checking herself. And they came and something led to another. I know God wanted them to know me today. I just knew it was a trap. So I was not so interested. But the guy was actually winning me, so I was not even really enjoying the... It's been a long time I played. He potted almost everything. My balls were remaining like 5. And he was left with black ball. So I was like, oh God. So I just told him, now, let me talk. That's a way of running away, so that he doesn't win me. And he said, all the pastors, is a man of God. The soldier said, is there any man of God in Nigeria? All of them are fake. Ah, me too, I'm a man of God. So I just dropped his head. I said, no, you don't talk like that. I said, are there wrong banks in Nigeria? I said, all banks are fake. He said, no, how can you say banks are fake? You just changed bank. I said, you just changed church. Churches are not fake. Change church. If you sense they are fake, change it. You are not intelligent if you call the church fake or pastors fake because you met one that was fake. Did Jesus not tell you? Look at the wonderful statement Jesus made in Matthew. He said, many false Christs will rise. False prophets will what? Rise. Did he not say that? Did he say that or not? He promised that. Play the natural one. Are we together? He said they will rise. So why are you thinking, why are you getting surprised that they are rising? False prophet. Why? Jesus said it to you. They will rise. Now it's your responsibility. He said test all spirit. He told you to test. Why not condemning the church he started because you found one or two people doing the wrong thing? So I said, somehow these people, if we are to be sincere, some of these people have caused a lot of people to give the church a wrong name. Some of these false prophets. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? They made people to see the church in a wrong way. Now, I'm not saying the people seeing the church in a wrong way are wise, are all wise. But to a fair extent, they are left with no option. And I said, give me an example of how a church manipulated you. He said he went to a church. The man will say, can I prophesy? Come and drop 5,000. I say, you see? I said, if you knew the word of God, you'd have not become a prey to that kind of circumstance. How many of you will go to a place with what you know and they will say, drop 5,000? Let them tell you something and you drop. If you just read there, you won't be laughing. Because you have understanding. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And even anybody, if you find anybody doing that, again, it's actually false. But I told the guy I was discussing with this early evening, I said to him, if you don't judge the church because of, how can you, because of those little things you see, those falsehood you see, judge the church entirely wrongly, you are not being wise. I told him, notice the people that accept this kind of ideologies. All of them are lukewarm Christians. Notice the people that accept this, they are all lukewarm what? Christians. They are not on fire. Because you see, if you're on fire, you can admit that there's actually error, some sort of error. But to take the church down, agree that the church should be disgraced, you will not agree. Because you really know what the church stands for. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It doesn't matter what is happening. We are the body of Christ. Allowing the church go down is allowing yourself go down. You know what you represent. Are you guys here tonight? Are you following me tonight? So I told him, I said, the statement is unwise. It's very unwise. You are changing night vigils to night shifts. How dare you? How dare you make such a statement? Night vigil to night shift. Very unintelligent statement. Foolish statement. Not spoken from wisdom. It is spoken from where? Depth of ignorance. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end of it is what? I'm a prophet. You can find people maybe insult this statement, but I tell you the truth. The end justifies the beginning. That is the beginning of failure for such a man. You know one thing with Christianity, like I told my friend this evening, that young man, I said, nobody will drag you and say you are stupid, will kill you for what you say. I said, but you can never make a statement like this about Islam. You can never tell them we'll turn prayer to night shift. If you cross any northern state, they will kill you. You see, but Christianity, anything goes. A young boy will just stand up without brushing his teeth and say anything. Anybody can stand up by the side of the bed at the wrong side and stand up and say, Bishop Oedipo is useless. Pastor Chris is a thief. Because it's a religion of peace. It's a practice of peace, I mean. We are a people of peace and love. With the height of Pastor Chris and some of these men of God in our faith, if they were in another religion, and anybody stands up in the public, whether by mistake and make such a statement about such people, you know what will happen. You know. But anybody, when they face Christianity, I said to myself, my wife and the man, I said, why is it that you will look at Nigeria as a Christian and say the problem of Nigeria is leadership and Christianity? How dare you? How dare you? You did not say falsehood being practiced as Christianity. You say Christianity. Thank God for revealing your heart. You will not win. You will change night vigils to night shifts. Something that started from the days of Jesus. You think we are the one that started night vigil? The disciples prayed all night. I hope you know that. Jesus prayed all night. I hope you know that. So if Jesus was in Nigeria, instead of praying, they would tell him, go and do night shifts. Because to you, prayer is to the end of making money. You hear stupid analogies they begin to bring. China is richer than Nigeria. Do they practice religion? Do you know how many gods Chinese people worship? Have you gone and checked? Speaking so ignorant. Those guys have more than 100 gods. In fact, one of them were watching. Remember one of these guys were watching as we were growing up? That was, forgotten that his name. Bruce Lee. I heard he's even a god. To show you how foolish such a people can be, there are some celebrities alive that are gods in that nation. Then you tell us we are backward. You look at us and say we are backward. We only know how to pray. Because to you, prayer is a means to getting money. You think our prayer is for getting house, getting clothes. That is why I waste my 6 hour praying. Do you know how many hours I've prayed in my life? I feel like crying sometimes when I think about those things. So I prayed hours just to have a car. To have a kind of house. That's why I was praying all my life till now as Simon. It's an insult to our faith. I told him, I said, you see, Christianity is not for making. Godliness is not a means to an end. The Bible says it. Godliness is not a function of acquisition of wealth. That's not godliness. Even Jesus said so in scripture. He said, the worth of a man does not consist upon the things on the earth, material things that he has gotten from the face of the earth. No. Don't tie your worth to earthly things. Jesus said that in scripture. He said that. I told somebody, I said, what of John the Baptist in scripture? He was in the wilderness. In the wilderness. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the path for the coming Messiah. Eating grasshopper. Now you say John the Baptist failed? Will you say that? Never took an horse and was driving and say, I'm John the Baptist, God sent me, that's why I'm flexing. Mm-mm. Was checking, living in the bush, eating grasshopper. You think if God wants to give John the Baptist the whole city in a minute, he will not give him? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? This is why we don't have Christians on fire. You tell a child of God, most churches now don't teach mission works. There are communities that are yet to know Jesus. I've heard people saying that God did not call them to villages. I've heard men of God say things like this. Who did God call to villages? Categorically. When he said go into the world, so he then told you that your own world is city. Foolish statement. Because Christianity now is a function of making money. Mammon. That's why we have people insult us like this. You see, really, listen, if anybody become president, he can affect the life, the quality of life God wants me to have. He can't. Pride comes before a fall. I pray God helps him to see this video. It comes before a fall. Don't be foolish. You look at a country, you wonder whether Satan is really joking. Satan is not joking, no. If people can have the impetus to suggest if this country should be Islamized, they have the impetus. Listen, I'm not saying it's a possibility right now. It's hardly going to be possible. But listen, for them to have the impetus to suggest that, you must be crazy enough. You must be too crazy and too bold. You must really have an agenda. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? To suggest such a stupid suggestion. You want to know the problem? What they are trying to bring us into? Look at the present day Turkey. Check what Turkey used to be in Bible days. When they are talking, it's all these unbelieving Christians, so-called Christians, shouting, you people are being so religious. Because you have a car, you have a house. If the devil happens to this country, we're not saying it will happen, you will find no place to go. I was in the house today, they said one terrible news that got to my mind. You know, people wonder why news of death really strike me. They say a young man, it was Jerry that was sharing with us, a young man walking in the house, and he said a young man, one of his colleagues he was supposed to collect something from, died. Was it this week? He said, or last week, I can't remember. He said, but the person was shot at Naka Road, some sort of, by Fulani people. I almost started crying. What the heck was that? A young man, and he said he married last month. You really don't understand the depth of this pain. You really don't understand. Until somebody, I pray it never happens to you. I can imagine what the family is going through right now. That the useless government of this country is the reason a young boy will die. If there's a working government, nobody will lose their children like that. and you have the impetus to come and say rubbish that the problem of the church in Nigeria, you take that foolish statement from the pit of hell. You don't even know what to say. Because you think you are Savior, Jesus. Even if an imam rules this country, if God wants to walk, he will walk. I tell you the truth. I tell some people, for them to rule this country, God will even prefer animals to rule the country. I know that Pastor Chris said this many years ago. Some of these Christians you are seeing, they are the ones that will go and say, stop church. He said, you are thinking, he said, they are the ones that will go and say, stop church. We are pushing you there because we know you have, we feel, or we thought you had a heart for God. Are you listening to me? We thought you had a heart for God. Not that you come and demean the things of God, the things of the Spirit. Demean it, make it look so useless. Because you want to get, you are in a honest bunch, fully set of people sitting there, ready to hear rubbish. You want to impress them. All of them, watch most people that go there, they must insult church. All those people there, what purpose, which qualification do they have to talk about church? If it's not foolishness. And you think it's a joke? I am not a tribalistic person, if you know me. That is why most of you here don't know my tribe. I'm not an ethnic person at all. If you stand for the truth, I am at your back. If you want to stand with foolishness, I'm away from you. Are you listening to me? And Christians, please, learn this wisdom. Be wise. I said this just to chip in something. And I pray a lot of people beyond you people sitting here are hearing me. I pray a lot of them are hearing me. If you are really a honest person, we that pray the night vigil, you claim we pray. And I asked the guy, I said, praying night vigil, how does it affect Nigeria? How does praying night vigil affect Nigeria? The people that are praying the night vigil, did they steal government money? Did they give them something to do that they did not do? Did a CEO complain that the reason why they are not working is because they are in night vigil? So how did it affect the country? And I said, okay, to worsen the situation, let's imagine too much night vigil is making somebody poor. Does his poverty affect Nigeria? If you are being sincere, people that pray five times a day, anything you are in a government office like this, you want to talk to somebody, it's 1 o'clock, he said, please give me some. He will leave you. Anything you want to talk in this life, he has left you. You cannot bring that one and say, that's the problem. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? If you really are honest, that one is not a problem. It is because you see that you have seen us finish. You can tell us your mind. And we will not carry cutlass and come and cut your head. That's why you are talking like that. There was a politician in this country that wanted to say the truth before election. The truth. They killed somebody in Sokoto. He said, I don't support this kind of... As he said, I don't support, they started telling him, we will see what will happen. In less than how many minutes, he deleted the post. He deleted it. So you look at the kind of attitude from such people and you think, we and them, who are the problem of this country? Something like that happened. The federal government do not do anything about it. Till today, have you seen that they catch the person that killed Deborah? Is it Deborah that was her name? Till today, have you people heard that they catch the person that killed her? If it's not foolishness, such a man should have spoken about that in the honest bunch. Is that not what takes a country backward? That we're in a country of democracy and you are telling us Sharia law is in a state. Sharia law and democracy, which one is higher? Democratic law. Which one is higher? You cannot seize bastard and take them to the prison. But you have the impetus to look at people who are minding their business and think they are the problem of this nation. Everybody comes to church. Everybody, be warned. Don't join that foolishness. And I tell you the truth, that can cost him everything he's standing for politically. You don't know God. God gives us time like this. He does things in a way that we will just see the hearts of people. When you hear that a Christian has a beer company, what do you think will come out of such a person? You better be wise. I believe God is here to raise a man for us. And if what I said is true, he will waste his money for all his life and nothing will happen. I just pray it's not true. Let's continue where we were. I honestly spoke by the Spirit. You may not believe it. I know I spoke by the Spirit. Alright, so let's continue. I don't know how we got here, but let's see the next part of scripture. Smile, amen. So I'm a prophet, don't fear for my life. Nothing can happen to me. Next part of scripture, except I don't speak by the Holy Spirit. He said, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is what? The head. That is who? Christ. So I said, when you become mature in the things of God, you speak the truth in love. You don't just speak the truth, you speak with so much consideration. For instance, I want to speak the truth now about practices in church that I don't like. I will not just call a father of faith and say, you are practicing a lie, blah, blah. I speak with so much consideration. The love there, you know, the Bible likens love to maturity in a part of scripture. I think in the book of John, he said there's faith, hope, and love, right? Then he says the greatest of it. The word greatest there means the more matured. Matured as in even age. Using age. Likens it to age maturity is love. That means love is the eldest brother. In other words, if you walk in love, you are walking in what? Maturity. So now I will not just look at a father of faith and say, you are useless for not blah, blah, blah. No. I will do a lot of math in my head. Why is it that they don't understand these things? Probably they were not privileged to have access to these informations we have today. Do you know what I'm trying to say? The only time when it becomes a problem is when they realize this is the truth and are negating it by all costs. Then we say, there's a problem here. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. That is why we will not look at fathers of faith and insult because of the practice they are doing that is not truly in line with scripture. Alright? We may deny the practice. I will never practice any practice that is not in the Bible. But I'll never insult the person that initiated the practice. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain? Many years ago, I said discard the word prophecy, but never what? The prophet. And don't get me wrong. When I said it, I said there's a difference between a false teacher and a false prophet. A false prophet is the one standing for the devil. Obviously, he wants to stand for wrong things. A false teacher is the one that is wrongly dividing the word of truth, but he has good motive probably. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? So you can wrongly divide the word of truth, but you have a heart for God. You are not a false prophet. So love, teaching the truth in love, will make sure you teach the truth from this perspective. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So now, even if you are a false teacher, you have good motive, and you tell me 2 + 2 = 48, I will not accept your ideology. Let me use the one that is more relatable. 1 + 1 = 11. I will not accept it. It doesn't matter the motive you have. 1 + 1 = 11. But I will not insult you for telling me 1 + 1 = 11. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? How many of you have your parents done homework for you and you failed before? Just leave your hands down. I understand. When you went to school, alright, and you truly failed, did you go back home and say, Dad, I don't know you are a otundo like this? After lying for me that you are carrying first in your class, come on, mass. Some of you won't tell your teachers that it's not my father, or it's one of my brothers that did it. Because you are embarrassed. Do you understand? Imagine the first thing that they mark first. They call, what did you, my mommy, they now flog and say, which your mommy don't know anything like you. Then you now remember it's your mom that did it. What will you say? You put it on your elder sister's head. Is my sister. Because even yourself, you are like, no, there's a consciousness in your heart. They're not supposed to talk about my mommy like that. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? Let me not disgrace my mommy to the public. All of us on the birthdays of our parents, we said, they are the best parents. There was a time we said, worst mother. In our heart, personally, in the secret place.
Some of us ask questions like, I don't know why God gave me this kind of mother in this world. But on their birthday, we start remembering only the good things. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? But if it's other people outside, it's only bad things we remember. We don't remember the good things. But if it's our blood, we know that no matter how we fight, we are still together. Because let's be very sincere. Some of you have siblings that have very bad character. But if there's anyone like badder than your friends. But your friends, you have small issues with your friends and you just paint them black. I didn't know that this my friend, she's has been jealous of me, she's a devil, blah 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 blah. For a small thing that happened in the house, probably about food or food stuff. You paint the friend like that. But your sister has stolen your things. Anytime your sister travels to school, let me say, because I have an experience, I've seen it with my younger sister. Anytime your sister is traveling to school, maybe she's in another school, you're in another school, she packs all your best clothes and run. And when she reaches, she says, check your bag. I took some of your clothes. You carry the phone. God will punish you. God fire you. Fire you. You start crying. Mommy, she's a bastard. Idiot. When you are done, 2 weeks later, idiot, I'm missing you. How are you doing? You see? You miss her now. Because it's already registered in your heart that that's your blood sister. But let your friend try that. And where's my shirt? I carried it. I forgot. You did not forget. You stole it. You idiot. From today, we're not friends again. I didn't know you are a thief. And maybe you are gisting the real thief about a thief. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Your sister, who is the commando in that realm, you are gisting her about one that just did it once by mistake. We know that this is related. So, you know, there's a way we are biased. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? We can be biased. When it comes to father of faith, now, if you truly have good home training, you will not know how to talk to people anyhow. Men of God that will call people off stage and insult them for false teaching, they don't have good home training. To me, that's what I believe. If your parents taught you how to talk to people that are older than you at home, you cannot do that thing. You cannot. Now look at me now. I look at Padiboy and say, that man is a false. I start calling him names because he said something that are wrong. Okay, look before now. Imagine I came here and I said, Padiboy is a thief. How can he tell you that if you don't give tithe, you don't go to heaven? What a thief. But we are new creation and you now shout, hallelujah. You are charged up. Then later on, he comes and he apologizes. How will you feel? Is your pastor now that is a real foolish person? Because he's unwise. The man does not care. He has heard all the insult. He then carried his Bible. Say, put the camera before me. He said, I want to apologize. If you look at that man now, you know, this is why God is using him. Even though he doesn't know the doctrine like you that claim you know the doctrine. Are you catching what I'm trying to say? You can see the trace why God is using him. You that know the philosophy in your head, you do like this, go. The demon say, if I slap your head. You know all the doctrines. You know all this thing. But nothing. Nothing to show for it. Because God resists the proud. But he gives what? Grace to the humble. Most people God used in scripture were humble people. In fact, all the people he used. I was reading about Abraham. The reason why God picked him was because he was a humble person. Check scripture. He was not a follower of God before God noticed his humility. God just looked at him. His father was worshipping an idol. God looked at him. Said, this guy is a humble person. Let me use him. He picked him out. He was not following God. He didn't know God that time. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But God was moved by his word. That virtue of what? Humility. Are you listening tonight? Very important. Just to bring the balance. That as Christians, the reason why we emphasize and keep on saying the truth of God's word beyond wrong practices we may have seen around is not to demean those people. It's not to mock the people. Alright? Because if you mock them, what will you really get at the end of mocking them? They will get offended. And they will know. Have you ever mocked somebody that at the end accepted the truth? Huh? Is it possible? Imagine you put your tie a wrong way and somebody comes and say, "Now I said you put tie mumu agbaya, fool. See your tie." In fact, the reason why you leave it like that is to prove that you don't care about what the person is saying. You will steer rot, pride from within that person. You will steer it. But when you come and say, my brother, this is your tie. Let me help you arrange it. Let me just help you. Just give me a moment. I remove it and arrange it. Say, this is how it's supposed to be. The person may even argue. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because you did it the right way. This is what it means for to teach the truth with love. Teach it with maturity. As you are teaching the truth, act with maturity. This is what differentiates technons from youths. Are you listening to me tonight? Babies, milk-sucking Christian, to those who have really encountered strong meat. If you truly know God, you'll be humble. You'll not be poofed up. You know, a certain part of scripture says knowledge poofs up. And of course, if Paul says knowledge poofs up, and the same scripture in 1 John says if you know God, you cannot continue in your sin, it simply means that it is the wrong knowledge that poofs up, not the right knowledge. Because the right knowledge will not cause you to be proud. It will cause you to be like God in humility. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? But the wrong knowledge or knowledge that is not complete can get you poofed up. Are you listening to me? Incomplete knowledge can get you what? Poofed up. But complete knowledge can never get you poofed up. It will get you to become like Jesus. And that's why the Bible said in Ephesians 1 through 19, it said, Paul was praying for the church, I think verse 18. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know. The word know there, I've done it before, is the word epignosis. Everyone say epignosis. Epignosis is a Greek word that means accurate and precise. Meaning the knowledge of God must be accurate and precise, not some assumptions. So God wants you to know Him accurately. Say, God wants me to know Him accurately. Say it like you mean it. God wants me to know Him accurately. Because if you know Him, if you have some assumptions about Him, you will wrongly represent Him. That's why Kenneth Hagin of blessed memory will say, half truth is no truth. Half truth is no truth. Even if you are a good scientist, how will you just assume? There's a place for assumption in sciences. But that is not our reality. It's more like a process to an end. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So when you do all the analysis and the rest, you should come into a conclusion. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? We will not stop at one analysis we are not sure about. Just like the people who discovered electricity. Imagine they stop at a point where they discover the light can be on, but if you touch the wall close to the light, it will shock you. They will not say they discovered electricity. No. To discover electricity doesn't mean you just discovered light just came. You don't care what is happening. Light just came. If it's like that, people would have died in this world very well. But they discover a lot of things, all right, that will make sure it's even safe for us to use. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? A lot of factors. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's why if you know God in parts, you will behave foolishly. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 13. Can you remember? When he was comparing giftings to fullness. Give things to fullness. In 1 Corinthians 12, he said, eagerly desire the best gift. Alright? So he was speaking to a church. Listen carefully. I've done this one Tuesday here. Please follow carefully. I said, the Holy Spirit did not give us gifts as Christians. And say, your gift is praying in tongues. Your gift is prophecy. Your gift is healing. No, he didn't do that. It doesn't make any sense. Because you see, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12 or 1 Corinthians 14, where giftings are mentioned or captured, you see a place that the Bible mentioned the gift of healing. Did you see that? It will not look like some people have gift to heal. If some people have gift to heal, why would God say, heal the sick, raise the dead? Why will He speak to everybody in a general way that we should what? Heal the sick and what? Why will He tell us to do that? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because God knows that everybody is supposed to heal the sick. Everybody is supposed to raise the dead. In fact, He said, this sign shall follow those. Did He say some? He said, those that believe in My... He said, in My name they shall what? In My name they shall what? Speak with new tongues. Did He say some will speak with new tongues? He said everyone. But if you look at 1 Corinthians 12 or 14, it seems like it was captured that tongues, even tongues, is one of the gifts of the Spirit. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? But it is wrongly, not like wrongly translated, but you know, the person that translated it to English somehow made a mistake. I wouldn't say make a mistake, because you see, I've told you before, the Hebrew and Greek is a very broad language, right? And English is quite diluted. We have around how many words in English currently? Huh? We sure? If you are sure, raise your hand up. I thought I was hearing answers now. Just Google now, Google sharp. Meanwhile, just leave that. I can just say it like this. Hebrew and Greek words are more ambiguous and plaintier than English words. And what I mean by ambiguous is this. When you say, for instance, ginosko in Greek, you know what that means? It's a sentence or a phrase in English. For instance, ginosko means what? Experiential knowledge. Knowledge which is a function of experience. Or knowledge gotten by experience. Are you get what I'm trying to say? But this is a word in Greek. Imagine that ginosko represents a word in Greek. You see why it's an ambiguous language. It's a picture language. You can gather a lot of things with just one word. Say a lot of things with just what? One word. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? For instance, when we say El Shaddai, what does El Shaddai mean? Is there a direct word in English that can capture the word El Shaddai in Hebrew? Is there any word? Who has a word? It must either be a phrase or a sentence. What is El Shaddai? Huh? Jehovah the multi-breasted one. You see? But you cannot use one word in English to just explain that. Are you people here tonight?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah to Jesus. That is why English, sometimes when you translate, you see some kind of mistakes like that in English. Because they can't find the direct word to translate the Bible with in English. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So they just suggest words. In the old KJV, they were suggesting. But as translation got broader, you know, as people started putting their hand in it so much, everybody started putting their hand, they forgot all of those laws. If not, the old NKJV says that any word in Idlix is our own suggestion. You should check for the original meaning. Am I boring some of you? See, if you want to grow in God, this is the kind of teaching you need to do. Not me shouting. Are we together? Glory to God forevermore. Alright. So that's why the word gift in there was wrongly word translated. Are we together? Are you here? Glory to God forevermore. Amen. So, it's not gifts per se. It's supposed to be manifestation. The manifestations of the Spirit, or manifestation of the Spirit. You know, for instance, imagine you have, can I have a bag here? Anybody? A bag? Ladies always have bag, or any man, anybody, just bring a bag for me. No, let me use that one. This one is too cute. This one too is cute, but it's big. Right, just open it for me. You have a lot of things inside, right? Okay, you have another bag inside. Wow. Sorry. It's prophetic. In fact, this is what I picture when I say show me a bag. You are a prophet. God, keep that one first. I'm telling you, this is what I picture when I say, come now, we have not finished. It's your bag. Hold it. Now, can I have a lot of things in this bag? Come, put a pen, a biro, a bottle, not rubbish things, just put things. Pen, put different things. Just drop things inside. Drop things. Put the phone, put biro, put Bible. All right. Okay, can anybody just come out? Anybody come out? All right, just check your hand, close your eyes from there, check your hand in the bag, help him, show in the bag, remove anything. All right, open your eyes. What was he holding? He's holding a bottle of water. All right, but he was given access to this bag. But the only thing he picked in the bag was what? A bottle of water. Does it mean that it's only a bottle of water that is in this bag? But that's what he picked. Another person should come. Close your eye from where you are. Close your eye. Close your eye. Close your eye. All right, stop. Check your hands. Pick something. What did he pick? Open your eye. A phone. Is it only phone that we have in the bag? But what did he pick? Meanwhile, he was given access to what? The bag. Can we have one last person, a lady? Why is it only men in this church? All right. So from there, close your eyes. All right. Check your hands now. Pick something. All right. Open your eye. What's she holding? A Bible. But we give her access to the whole bag. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You are given the Holy Spirit, but you touch one side of the Holy Spirit. It found expression doesn't mean that that's everything about the Holy Spirit you are supposed to touch. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Because the church in Corinth, they had an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The supernatural was so much. And they were not so knowledgeable. Alright? So they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. It was new to them. And one just stood up with something, started manifesting it. Another one stood up, caught something in the Holy Spirit, started manifesting. Another one stood up with a certain manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Then Paul wrote to them, not saying they have gifts. That's not what Paul said. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He said, I hear that one is doing this, one is doing that, one. But it is one Spirit. Now, let me even say it in the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. He said, when he heard that, he said, eagerly desire the best manifestation. It's translated gift. Meaning that Paul is saying, desire anything you want. Raise what you are holding. Within this tree now, which one would you have preferred? Okay. How about you? Which one would you have preferred? I know you say the Bible. Hallelujah to Jesus. You, I know you prefer that. You're an evil man. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. If this is what they are just limited to heaven, we Paul said, eagerly desire the best gift. Huh? If it's translated as in gift, the way we see it, if that's the true translation, it simply means if it's gift, it simply means you cannot give this person your own, he cannot give you his own. You people should not share it. But Paul is saying, eagerly desire the best gift. Meaning that even though she has this, she can desire this and get it. He's not saying as she's holding this now, she will change with this man. As she's holding this now, she can desire his own and get it. Why? Because the basket was given to her. Not just the thing, these things in the basket. All of them are given access to this bag. And you people get out and try to save. So now as she's here again, she can desire this phone. She can get, he will have his own phone, but she will have her own phone too. That's what Paul is saying, that they have it doesn't mean that you cannot have it. Desire it. He said, eagerly desire the best gift to you and you have it. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because there was a dispute. People were wondering, why would only him be doing this? Paul said, you can have it. Don't have a problem with yourself. You see that one prophesying? Desire it. It will come upon you. Meaning, how any manifestation of the Spirit finds expression is by desire. True desire, a man first separates himself before he what? Intermediate with wisdom. Desire first. Very important. I will get out and trying to explain. You want to heal the sick, it starts with desire. Many people not healing the sick today or not able to heal the sick today, they don't have the desire for it. They've never sat down and said, God, I want to heal the sick. You will not just start healing the sick because you say, God, I want to heal the sick. When you really desire to heal the sick, you go to the Lord in prayers. You start sorting materials. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? God will start leading you to materials, informations that will get you to be really fortified, capacitated. And suddenly you come to that point that you begin to what? Get the sick healed. So you see, if these gifts of the Spirit, as it is written in Scripture, is actually limited to one person per time, she cannot desire anything the other persons have because she will not get it. But it is available for all. That means if 5 or 10 people are here with different gifts, she can have it because the Holy Spirit is one. And he's the one that manifests in all of these directions. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So we are not full with him. We are not full with a measure. We don't have a measure of the Spirit. We have the fullness of the Spirit. Meaning any manifestation we see anywhere, we can see it in ourselves. We did not receive the Spirit with what? Measure. We received the Spirit with our measure. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? The Bible said the disciples were filled. They didn't have a measure. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's why at the end, at the tail of 1 Corinthians, somewhere he said, you may have seen all of these things, but I show you a more excellent way. A more excellent way. Let's see it. Earnestly desire the best gift, and yet, I show you. Meaning you can just desire anyone you get. But listen, Paul is speaking. There's a more excellent way. Meaning that when the excellent way comes, forget about this beat, part. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? If I say, okay, what's your name again? I forgot. Sonia, hold all of these things, but there's something I will give you that there's a more excellent way. Let me put it like that. Alright? Let me explain the more excellent way. I may not have the utterance to really say that so much now, but let me just do it practical. This bag, everything we're seeing here, isn't it? Meaning that she can get all of these again in this bag. Maybe she got these things from this bag. There's so much more here that all of them have not touched. So eagerly desire the best gift. You can collect their own. But there's a more excellent way. What's that more excellent way? Now everything you need is in this bag. The Bible says you are complete in not lacking anything. Everything you need is inside Christ. If you know Christ, you don't desire gifts. You have come into the hub of gifts. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Not just gifts, but fruits also. A man in Christ is not trying to be humble. He is humble. And if he realizes he's humble, he will show humility. Do you people just get what I just said? Everything is in Christ Jesus. That's why the Bible says this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The scripture I wanted to start with was that Ephesians 4 and what? 20 what? 24. See what the Bible says. It says, and put on the new man which was created according to God in true what? Everything is in Christ. Put him on. Everything is in him. He is created after true righteousness and holiness. Meaning if you have Jesus, you don't try to be holy. You are holy to express holiness. Or holy acts. All you need to do is to show the act of holiness and righteousness. Don't try to beckon holiness and righteousness because it is in Christ Jesus. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you here tonight? He said, put on the new man. Just wear him like a cloth. And listen, we've worn him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? As Bible says for 2 Corinthians 5:17, how will I forget that scripture? If anyone be in Christ, is a what? We've won him. We've won him. So when Paul said put on, he's trying to steer their consciousness to the fact that they already have the Holy Spirit. I mean, they already have Christ Jesus, or they are in Christ Jesus. So they should just wear that consciousness of Christ. They should wear the consciousness of Christ in their daily living. They should be conscious that they are like Christ. That way, they will be able to show the fruits of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit and all the manifestations of the Spirit as in gifts, like captured in 1 Corinthians 12. Another part of scriptures to affirm this. The Bible says in how would I forget this scripture? I can't believe it. It says, I'm put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and what? Holiness. And the Bible had said, we are complete in Christ, not lacking anything. So I lack nothing in Christ Jesus. But I hope you are flowing with me, you are understanding me tonight. Just put it on, put the Holy Spirit on. I mean, put Christ on. You don't lack anything in Christ. You are complete in Christ Jesus. Complete in Him. You don't lack nothing. See what the Bible said? True righteousness and holiness. True what? Righteousness and what? Say it again. One to go. True and what? Let me end this analogy before they sit then. Go back to 1 Corinthians 13. Then he begins to explain in verse 1 of 13. It says, now you see him flowing from giftings to fullness. Watch carefully. Now, he's into gifting. Because 12 has explained that tongues is one of the gifts, isn't it? So see the comparison now. Though I speak with tongues of what? And of what? But no love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Lord help me. Now see, before she sits down, give them back their gifts. Alright, this is what she have. Alright? Huh? But where are you complete? Where are you made complete? Let's see it. Colossians 2. Colossians 2 from verse what? 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Next part of scripture. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. The word complete also in Greek is the word perfect. Say, I'm perfect in him. Say it like you mean it. Say, I'm perfect in him. And Christ is the full package. Follow carefully. Go back to 1 Corinthians 13:1. He said, do I have a gift? I speak in tongues of men and of angels. But no love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. What has been given to ensure that you are complete? Christ. You are complete in Christ. Follow carefully. Where are you complete? In Christ. Where are you complete? In Christ. In other words, if you receive or have anything short of Christ, you are not complete. You are not going to be perfect. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? If it takes Christ to be perfect and you have anything short of Christ, there's going to be a problem in your life. There's going to be a limitation in your life. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Are you flowing with me tonight? Are you understanding me? So Paul said, if you speak now, look at it carefully. This is more like one of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, as the scripture says, isn't it? And she's holding one of the gifts. Imagine this is a gift of tongues, like the scripture is speaking here. He said, even if you have the gifts of tongues, hold the fullness now. This is fullness, isn't it? Full package, Christ. This is tongues. She prays in tongues. This is our own gift. She prays in tongues. He said, but if you have no love, he said, you are nothing. Why? Because this is what has been provided for your perfection. Alright? It is in this you are complete, not in the gifts that you are complete. You are complete in fullness, not in giftings. That is why you can see somebody that pray in tongues, but if he doesn't know Christ, he will talk foolishly. He will still walk in bitterness. Because you are not made to be complete. And some people, when they just receive the ability to pray in the spirit, they think they've arrived. They think they it's not the end, it's a means to an end. See what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 10, isn't it? Or 8? Let's see it very briefly. Is it 10 or 8? Give me 8 first. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will what? Whether there are tongues, they will what? You see, tongues will cease. There's a day tongues will cease. You see that? Because tongues is a means to an end. It's not the end in itself. 1 Corinthians 14, you will see there. I think verse 5? He that prays in an unknown tongues edifies himself. It's for edification. Are you listening to me? Self-edification. So there's a day to cease. In the parousia, nobody will pray in tongues. Are you getting confused? So Paul is like, see, you can like this gift, you know, but there's a more excellent way, fullness. Paul is saying that it is possible to be in the realm of gifting and still be suffering with lust. In the realm of gifting, you don't know how to talk to people. In the realm of gifting, and you still steal. In the realm of gifting, and you still talk dirty talks. In the realm of gifting, and you still hear worldly song. It's about when that which is complete comes, that which is in part will go away. There are certain characteristics tied to this lady now that she is in part. Because this is not enough to make her perfect or complete. So she may be praying in tongues, but she is still what? A rivaler. She talks against people. Probably. She has a bad character, some sort of bad character. Alright? So Paul is saying that how to solve this bad character is not high for her to keep on praying in tongues. That's not how to solve. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? He said, when that which is complete comes, in Christ you are in what? New creation. That's the pseudocode. That's the algorithm. That's the programming. If it's not in Christ, you are not a new creation. You still have something tied to the old creation in your life. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? So when that which is perfect comes to this lady, the characteristic that is tied to her just limited to one gift. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain? Will be God, because our focus will not be on gift again, to be on Christ. The Bible did not say looking up to a gift. It said looking up to Jesus, who is the author and what? Finisher. We are called to be like Jesus, not to have attributes of Jesus, one or two attributes of Jesus. The call is to be like Jesus. And it takes Jesus to be like Jesus. If you've not seen Jesus, you cannot be like him. And that's why the Bible says, we with open faces beholding as in a what? The glory of the Lord are being what? Transformed. Because we must see what we are supposed to be like. That which Moses could not see. Are you here tonight? So are you understanding 1 Corinthians 13 now very well? When that which is complete comes, that which is imperfect goes away. He said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I behaved like a child. But when I came to the fullness of age, now get it now. Love, hope, faith, hope, and love. The greatest as in age, as in more matured, is what? Love. Childhood now is tied to giftings. Remember, Paul is comparing two things now. Giftings and what? Fullness. He called fullness here love, because God is love. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Then remember, the Bible explains that the greatest, the more matured in faith, hope, and love is what? Love. So listen to what Paul says. He said, when I was a child, I behaved like a child. When I was in the realm of just faith and hope, probably giftings. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain? Are you people get what I'm trying to say? He said, I behaved like a child. But when I what? How did he put it? When I what? Grew up. He said, I left. How did he grow up? By knowing love, the more mature word. When he came to the height of maturity in love, by knowing God fully, by knowing Christ fully, he said, I what? Left childish ways. It's very relatable. I can use my life to explain it. There was a time that nobody prayed like, for hunger like us. I will not say me like us. I had a clique. Uta Uta Babana. That was our nickname. Prayo, prayo. And I'm not discarding prayer now. But there were some practices we did that time that was tied to ignorance. And sometimes when I say it, people think we're being foolish. No. 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 We're not foolish. There was a time that we thought that hunger is what sustains our faith. Hunger. Hunger. Do we have people who are alive in this place? Is your hunger hot? You want to go far without hunger? No. Do we have hungry people? Then you see people start removing their hungry meter. Start sharing it. Because they think hunger is the way forward. No. How can you imagine that all your life you have been hungry? Hungry. You want to be like Jesus all your life, you are hungry. The way to be like Jesus is hunger. Never feel satisfied. Meanwhile, Jesus said, you negate Jesus. You negate Jesus. The Bible says there's a rest prepared for the children of God. There's a rest prepared. Meaning God's dream for you is rest. Satisfaction. You people get what I'm trying to say? Isaiah prophesied prayer. If you think prayer is the... He prophesied about prayer. He said, with strange tongues will God speak to these people and pray to these people. He said, but that prayer and that which is going to be by those strange tongues is for the rest. Will be called the rest. Meaning we'll be using that tongues. Praying in the spirit will be like you resting in the finished work of Jesus. It's not a fight. If you understand what Jesus has done for you, your prayer will not be stressed. It rests. You are resting. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Have you seen people that pray like they are fighting? You are not. I wish I can explain this thing to you. better than how I'm saying it now. I've seen people who they want to. The reason for tongues. See, the reason for tongues is not killing demons. You are a chief. Before, listen. If Elijah's were on the edge today, no demon will enter this town. Elijah. No demon will enter this town. But the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Of all men born of women before Jesus came, was dead, buried, and resurrected, there was no man, the Bible said, that is greater than who? John the Baptist. Forget Elijah. I know you've been singing these are the days of Elijah. But you are the one that have that opinion. Jesus said, none of them was greater than John the Baptist. He said, but listen, the least in the kingdom, the least. You are wondering if you are the one. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into God's marvelous light. I'm talking about you and I. The Bible says the least in the kingdom is greater than who? The least. He knows what he did. He knew. That's why he said this kind of thing. You are the one finding it difficult. You know, there are some preachers that even think that what Jesus said is not supposed to. I heard a young preacher. They are laughing like lions. I heard a young preacher somewhere. He said that he's greater than Elijah. Do you know who Elijah is? Then the people start doing like this on their seat. Elijah is a system. Somebody will answer. Hey, I will not fall to the ground. Why? No, we understand these things are just, they're just demonstrations, ignorant demonstrations. How can you say? I had one young preacher in Makoti. He opened his mouth and said he's greater than Elijah. Do you know who Elijah is? You understand? Elijah is a system. Then some people will fall at the back. It's a system. How would they want to prove Elijah is a man who locked the heavens? Who has locked the heavens? One man in the Igala land has locked the heavens. The Gala people lock, they lock rain from fall. The Gala people, am I lying? I heard recently that you want to wed. There are some places, if you want to marry, they'll tell you rain won't fall. What could stop them? 100k. I'm not trying to demean Elijah. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Make him feel small. But why are you doubting what Jesus has said? Why are you doubting it? I know him, the only living one. I have eternal life. They never had this. Are you listening to me? That's not just it. You see, in their days, they were not complete. You could be anointed and be still wicked. You could be anointed and still be a womanizer. But if anybody be in Christ, we never saw new creations in the Old Testament. We are not just new creation. We have the ability to make people new. As the Father have life in himself, so does the Son. And to many that have believed in his name, to them he has given the right to be called Son. Another scripture, it said, you are a life-giving spirit. Life-giving spirit. You don't just have life, you have life in abundance. The enemy has come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But you've got life, life in abundance. You dish out life. Are you listening to me? Mountain, if you mount this consciousness, you can never have anything stand before you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Nothing can stand against you. Nothing. There's no mountain anywhere. It's only ignorance. My people perish for lack of mountain, lack of power, lack of what? Knowledge. Knowledge. They don't perish because mountains are plenty. No. Knowledge. Knowledge is power. Are you here tonight? Don't doubt what Jesus says. If he said the least in the kingdom is greater. Listen, and when we say least, we don't mean the person less in power. No. In the kingdom, everybody have equal power. Are you listening to me? The Christ in me is not different from the Christ in you. Jesus gave an analogy because the Pharisees, they like big manism. He said, there was a man that came to work from the sixth hour and another from the 12th hour. Then he promised them the same pay. At the end of everything, he gave the one from 6 hours what he promised him. They agreed on it. The man left. But he was observing that Jesus gave the other one from 12 hours the same price. So he said, Master, no. He's talking to the Pharisees. No, I will not agree. And I said, why will you not agree? Did I not tell you this is what I will pay you? He said, yes. Did I not pay you? What else did I do? You may have started knowing, you may claim that Moses is your grandfather. You may have practiced Judaism and etc. A long time ago, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. But you see these Gentiles, whatever I'm giving you, they are going to have it the same way. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? You may be wearing white and white, but you're not different from a Gentile that just finished eating big. The Christ I'm giving him is the Christ you're going to have. You may have started from the 6 hours speaking to the Pharisees, but these ones at the 12th hour that I'm meeting now are going to receive the same reward with you. Do you people get what I'm trying to... That's what being some of these apostolic settings, that a young brother like this come, would just stand up and start saying that, I have the Holy Ghost, I can heal the sick. Do not look at him and say, this one, he doesn't have rank in the spirit. This one, he doesn't have rank. They don't understand why this boy can enter a whole land and all the demons are running away. You want to know how powerless a man of God is? Hear what he says. We went for crusade in one of the most deadliest cities, villages in Nigeria. You see, in that village, they have 12 altars. And when we entered the village, we could not access. In fact, when we're entering, the demons, they noticed our presence and they began to plot. Are you with me now? Now, when you hear things like that, you see them, they magnify Satan. If they finish that service, if they say raise a song, the people say up, up, Satan, down, down, Jesus. Because they magnified Satan too much. After that service, people are going back wondering whether they have power. Look at the power described. Oh, give me that scripture again. Ephesians 1 and 19 in the Amplified rendition. Look at the power described for a believer. And you are telling me about Satan's power? It says, and so that you begin to know what the immeasurable and what? Of what? In us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength. How did he show this mighty strength? Next part of scripture. The Bible says in verse 20, when he produced, see when they produce this immeasurable, unlimited, and this power that surpasses greatness. See when it was produced. Which he produced in Christ, when he what? Raised him from the what? Dead. And what? So when Jesus resurrected and sat down, there was a power produced. In other words, if you truly died with Christ, were buried with Christ, and resurrected with Christ, you are operating in this same power. And if the same spirit that has raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the same immeasurable, unlimited, and the power that surpasses greatness, if it dwells in you, the Bible says, it will what? It will what? Quicken this mortal body. See, we're in a realm called the glory realm. Where there are no needs, only solutions. Are you listening to me? This realm is called the more than a conqueror realm. We are lost in the glory. We are lost in victory. We don't think fear. We don't think defeat. We don't think Satan. I can't think Satan. I only think glory. I don't think of weakness. I don't think of the possibility of falling to the devil tomorrow. No, he that the Son of Man has made free is what? Free indeed. I may not fall will not be your testimony because you are in Christ. What if you fall tomorrow? I may not fall tomorrow. I will not fall tomorrow. There is no may for me. The word of the God to me, the word of the Lord to me is only yea and what? No may. Listen, the way you are doing it, you may fall. No, I will not fall. I will not fall. He said, take heed lest you fall. The scripture says, let him that thinks he stand. Meaning, if of yourself you think you are standing, you fall. But I'm not the one just standing. The Bible says God is able to keep us from falling. It's God that is the one that is holding us in Christ Jesus. Anyone in Christ is God that is holding your head. You are not the one that thought you are standing. It is God that says you are standing.
He said, on this rock called Christ, I'll build my church. We are standing on Christ. He said, and the gate of Hades shall not prevail against them. He said, to them I've given the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. Whatever they bind on earth, whatever they lose from it. Oh, see the power you have. It's so much. Let it get unlocked. Are you listening to me? Let it get unlocked. Let it get unlocked. You know, many years, sometimes back I was listening to a man of God, a dear man of God, Pastor Chris. He said something that struck me. He said, see, the problem should not be that God will not answer the prayer, because there's nothing like that. As long as you are praying, this is the assurance and the confidence we have in Him, that when we pray, He answers us. He said, what will you do the answer He? What will you do with the answers that He will give you? Stop thinking of the possibility of God not hearing your prayers. In fact, He has finished hearing your prayers. Right now, your prayer rises like sweet-smelling savour before Him. Because we only pray His will for us. When we say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm healing the sick, it's not something strange. He had said in His word that you heal the sick and you raise the dead. So you are aligning with His purpose for you. It's not something strange. In the name of Jesus, I heal the sick. That it will happen. And when you are done praying, know that you have received answers. The confidence that we have is that when we pray, He answers us. When you are done praying, go with the confidence that you have been answered. Because it is those that believe that they've been answered that will see results. When you pray believing you have, then you shall. Meaning, if you don't believe you have received in the prayer, if you just prayed without believing you have received, you will not have. So if I pray, Lord, thank you, I can heal the sick in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Now I heal the sick. Thank you, Father. I believe I have received. And now I know I have. Because that's the Lord. If you pray you have received, what do? You have. You have. So I just believe I have received. What then? I have. Now in the name of Jesus, you sick, be healed. Why? Because I have something. Peter speaking, such as I have, I give unto you. Because he prayed. And he believed he received the prayer. So Peter says, such as I have, such as I have, I give unto you. He didn't stop there. He insisted that the guy have received something. He said, rise up. Peter, the Bible says, he held him by the eye. He said, rise up and walk. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Satan is very cheap. Are you here? If you magnify Satan, your sins will be magnified. He's the one that causes sin. He's the originator of sin. As long as you magnify Satan, the possibility for sins in your life will be very big. Very big. They are telling you the devil is strong, the devil is strong. You go back home. He's the one making you to fall into lust. You think, you know, if you believe Satan is strong, then the lust ability he has in you will be very powerful. You are wondering why you are struggling. You claim to be an apostle in an apostolic setting. The only thing you preach about in a whole year is lust. Lust has become the devil. You are wondering. It's not a mistake. It is how far you magnify Satan. Why do you think you are so looking nice? You are a young, fine man. And the only thing in your heart is revival. You just want to go and stir revival in cities. Why do you think so? Because Jesus has become your satisfaction already. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? He's your satisfaction. Some people look at us and they wonder why we are not misbehaving. Pastor Simon, don't worry. You know, some people have prophesied my destruction already. He will misbehave. Forget all. Look at all those fine girls in his church. We are waiting for him. Very soon it will happen. No, it can't happen. You see, because the word of God is the most sure word of prophecy. It's the most sure word of prophecy. My life only goes in the direction of the word. Many people may have suggestions, but what has God said about your life? Focus on it. That's the direction of your life. You speak only the word of God. The word of God is more like rudder in your mouth. As you speak the word, your life goes in that direction. No wonder the book of James says that if you want to know how perfect a man is, listen to his word. Meaning your word can defy you in the realm of the spirit. Your words. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Are you here tonight? That is why people in the realm of giftings will find it difficult to believe people in fullness. They will think we have pride.
to only talk about, emphasize gifting. He's a prophet. Can I pro? But he knows nothing about the things of the spirit. He doesn't understand that there's fullness and there's giftings. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So when you tell him that it's a possibility that prophecy will end one day, he's shocked. But it's in the scripture. 1 Corinthians 13:9. Where there are prophecies, they will what? A time will come, nobody needs to tell anybody about themselves. Because the Lord himself shall be our light. He's the light of everybody. You are not in dark. In darkness. You are not in the dark of anything about your life. Nobody needs to tell you anything. A time will come, tongues will cease. That's what the Bible says. Are you here tonight? Say, Pastor Simon, these people, they be bearing and they make up. No. And you see, like I said in the beginning of the service, you don't treat them the way they deserve logically. Do you understand what I just said? If you look at the scripture, Jesus was not necessarily insulting the Pharisees every time. No. There are times he neglected them. There are times he left them. There are times he didn't answer their questions. But there were times also he answered their questions with another question. There were times he called them foolish, but not every time. Sometimes as we teach, we hear foolish things. We will emphasize how foolish that thing is. But that's not our focal point. We were not designed to always stand here and look for fault and talk about. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. You must be focused. You see, if we don't focus on these new creation realities and we are focused on what people are doing that is wrong, we will never be able to bet it out. Satan will use these things as distraction. You hear a lot of things instead of being focused. Now, you've known it. That's one phase of the journey. To bet it into reality is another phase. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Knowing it is one phase of the journey. Betting it as your reality is another phase. That's when the place of prayer begins to cause your name. Like a woman who is pregnant with something. All of these things I'm saying to you. Christ, you are pregnant with Christ. But it's not supposed to be on your inside alone. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible did not say, out of your belly shall it be known to the nations that there are rivers of living water. It said, out of your belly shall flow. It's supposed to flow. It's supposed to find expression. It's supposed to come out. So out of your belly shall what? Flow forth rivers of living waters. It's supposed to find expression. Are you listening to me? And that happens in the place of prayer. In the secret place. That way, a generation will rise. Listen to me, people of God. That will kill the narrative that the only thing they claim they know about new creation reality is empty words. That is why some young boys will stand up and insult these things we call. You know, I've heard a man of God stand up and say, this thing they say, Christocentric. We are the one that started it. He doesn't understand it, people of God. A generation is rising and it is you and I. Are you listening to me? It will not just be information. It will become manifestation. And by manifestation, we're not just talking about demonstration of power. Demonstration of the life itself. That there's a set of people that the proof that they are new creation is not that they are dyeing their hair or plaiting their hair or putting some earring or nose ring. No, you look at them decent, full of the Holy Spirit. They have been eaten by the desire for God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? They only love righteousness and hate wickedness. You know why we have to hold on to these things in new creation under the new covenant? Because except the Bible said something. It said, I cannot put new wine in old wineskin. Except the new wineskin is ready, we will not see the new wine. That is why we must position ourselves by becoming the new wineskin. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? God doesn't want mixing. We cannot mix Old Testament and New Testament. Whatever you think you have seen in the Old Testament is only a measure compared to the fullness in the New. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, it says, if the ministration of condemnation, a condemned ministry, it says, if it was glorious, it says, the ministry of the righteous excels in glory. Listen, it doesn't matter the people you've heard saying this thing, and probably from the sincerity of your heart, I've not truly seen a manifestation of what that scripture says. Don't just stop there and say, forget, I think I will just go back to what we used to know. No. Listen, there was a man in Daniel who saw a prophecy concerning his people that for many years never saw the manifestation. He understood by books like we today. We understood by books too, the Bible. Isn't it? When he saw it, people will look at it and you just smile. People will look at it and wonder when it will happen. But Daniel said, I want to cause and steer something. I want to start. I want God. He checked the time. He said, is this the time? He looked at it. God is saying, in fact, the time had passed for it to start finding expression. But because a man was not ready for it, he said, I sought for a man that would stand in the gap. Daniel said, I want to become that man. Remember, it was Daniel that wrote that scripture. Daniel said, they that know their God, they shall be what? He did not say, who's God? He said, their God, knowing God personally. Daniel said, I want to see a manifestation of this promise that has been said about Israel. Daniel did not just look at it and keep it. Everybody saw it and they wonder when it will happen. But Daniel looked at it and said, Lord, I want it to happen because you said it's time for it to happen. Checking from calendar, it's time. Why is it not happening? He began to make inquiries. And he began to pray. And while he was praying, several encounters started coming. That is how Israel started going out. That was the beginning of Israel's salvation from captivity. Because a young man looked at it and said, I will not just read it. I want to see a manifestation of what I'm saying. Not because I want to see it alone, but because God said it is time. It is time. Are you listening to me tonight? God said the least in the kingdom of all men born of women, none is what? But he said the least in the kingdom is what? Now we are in the kingdom. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into God's marvelous. Don't you think it's time to prove the word of the Lord? That if the ministry of condemnation was glorious, the ministry of the righteous should excel in glory? Don't you think it's time? Are you here tonight, people of God? The proof that we're a new creation is not the Gen Z behavior. No, it is what the word of God has said. This ministry is supposed to be greater. He said, have you seen the former glory, the former house and its glory? He said, consider it for a moment. God speaking to them in the book of Isaiah. Remember my former house and the glory? He said, think about it. Remember the glory? They said, yes. He said, listen, forget about the former days. Forget it. Neglect it. What I'm about to do, it has not entered into the heart of men. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 2 that says it. That says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has he what? Entered into the hearts of men. What God what? Has prepared for they that love him. Eyes have not seen. But the beautiful thing is this. It said, the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Then he said, who knows the heart of a man but the spirit of that man? He said, in the same way, who knows the heart of God but the spirit of God? He said, you have received the Spirit who is from God, that you may know the things that have been filled. Now, eyes had not seen. It stopped with you. You have seen. Are you listening to me? And as you have seen, you walk in the manifestation of it. The Bible said, somewhere in that part of scripture, it says, he said, but we have received the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that God has freely given unto us. That's verse 12. Then down to verse 16, he said, who knows the heart of the Lord that he may instruct? He said, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the operating system of Jesus. Is in us. We're talking about Jesus after resurrection, not Jesus before even resurrection. Are you listening to me? The mind of Christ. What made us walk on water? We have same impetus, same school of thought that will make him look at a boat that gone and say, let us go to water. When they left, he walked on water. That same mentality is enough. Are you listening to me? What made Jesus look at a woman who was dead, a lady who was dead, and say she's asleep? The Bible says, have that mind that was in Christ. We have it. Who knows the heart of the Lord that he may instruct? We have the mind of Christ. The Bible said when Jesus said the woman was asleep, the Bible said they ridiculed him, meaning they laugh at Jesus. Meaning don't mind when they laugh at you, you have the mind of Christ. Because when men say the economy is bad, you cannot say the economy is bad. Why? You have the mind of Christ. You understand that your God shall supply all your need, not some, all your need according to what? So your faith is not plugged on the present government. Your faith is plugged in God Almighty. You speak like Caleb and Joshua with a good report. You have a good report. Are you listening to me? Joshua said, the people truly, he said, yes, we saw the characteristic of that land. It flows with milk and honey like God has said. But he said, there's a problem. The 10 spies, they did not come and say what God has said yet. In fact, God said the land flows with milk and honey. They did not come and say that though. They said, the only thing, however, there are giants in the land though. They could not see what God said. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They forgot to check if it's flowing with milk and honey. They say, they are giants though. Well, as grasshoppers before them. And the Bible says, when they were speaking, fear entered the heart of the people. Fear. I mean, there's a way you can talk as a leader to you cause fear in the heart of your people. You say impossibilities in the heart of your people. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It did not say be afraid. They were talking. The people said that the spirit of fear just found free flow. There are words you hear that open the gate of Satan. Open the gate for Satan to gain access to your life. You are hearing how powerful Satan is. You are opening your gate, the gate of your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart. But as you are hearing those words, your heart. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And as they spoke, the hearts of the people melted, the Bible said. But two people stood up. They were minority. They were minority. Two of them, amidst 12. They stood up. And the Bible said, they said, yes, the land is flowing with milk and honey. We saw the characteristic. That means, that's proof that that's the land God said we should take. Because one of the things God said is that the land is flowing with what? We saw the proof. It's the land. He said, and they said, on the strength of that, let's go at once and kill the people. He said, though they are mighty, but because of what God has said, we are more mightier than them. You know what the Bible said? The people took up stones and they wanted to what? Stone Joshua and kill him. That means God can tell you something that will make people take stones and say, get out from this place. God can tell you something that will make people say, now, mumu, leave him. Look at David on the strength of the old covenant. Your eldest brother. You think your life stops where your eldest brother won't have stopped? Are you following me tonight? The hallmark of your riches and success is not your eldest brother, except he's born again and knows the things of God. The eldest brother told David, he said, get up from here, you have come with this, your mouth making. And David said, where's the Goliath? He left. He said, where's the Goliath? He said, I know you stubborn. Meaning sometimes faith looks stubborn. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? David stubborn, David, you this boy. He said, show me the Goliath, where is he? And when they brought Goliath, we thought he should run. And he said, you uncircumcised Philistine. He didn't say Goliath. Faith has a language. Are you here tonight? Faith has a language. Faith denies the facts. Abraham, against all hopes, had faith. Faith is not hope, you know. Faith is in it. The Bible says Abraham did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider it. Faith does not consider a lot of things. It doesn't consider a lot of factors. Are you here tonight? Faith does not consider the economy. The economy will not get us to adjust our life. No. In fact, the economy adjusts according to our faith. He said, he did not consider the deadness of who? Some of you have changed your confession because of Tinubu. It's time to hold fast your confession of faith. The things of the spirit are slippery. If you don't hold it, you just slip away. Do you understand what I'm trying to say tonight? Look at the words of David. So powerful on the strength of the old covenant. Covenant based on bulls, blood of bulls and lambs. Hear what he said. You uncircumcised. He didn't say Goliath. You uncircumcised. Because circumcision was the prerequisite for becoming God's choicest people in the Old Testament. Circumcision. Uncircumcised Philistine that stand before the army of the Lord to defy them. Dare to defy them. He said, you come to me with armor, with machete, and with bows and with helmet, everything. He said, but listen, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Who died, people of God? Who died? Was it David? It happened. Faith does not just believe, it speaks out. We believe and so we speak. We have in the same spirit of faith. We believe as we speak. David said, I will not just kill you, I will pluck off your head. I will pluck it off. I wonder how the elder brother was looking at him. He said, not just your head. He said, shift. You see all those your boys at the back? I will pluck all of their heads too. The Bible said, when David was done killing Goliath, and he said, the other ones, they remember what he said. He said he will not just cut our guy's head. When they just saw that Goliath, that they ran back for their life. Because what David said, they saw it happen bit by bit. What you say will happen bit by bit. It will happen. What you say, you will heal the sick. You will raise the dead. You will cleanse the lepers. The best things of life are yours. That biggest fame, that fame you've been praying about, you own it. You own it. Dream that dream. Dream it. Dream it. You must be ridiculed. If you were not ridiculed, it's not faith. They ridiculed Jesus. He spoke the language of faith. He said that she's asleep. She's not dead. I will own an oil company. Your entire lineage will laugh. Nobody has. You are not just dreaming it. You are working towards your plan. Before you know it, you are making research how to own an oil company. How to own it. You are registering some things. They are wondering. You know what you are doing by registering and preparing? You are aligning with what God said in the book of Isaiah. He said, prepare your what? He said, elongate your rope, strengthen your stacks. Meaning get more capacitated. Because what you are about to receive, meaning start planning. If you pray believing you have received and have, why not plan? The proof that you have faith is action. Because faith without work, action is what? Dead. Many, if you believe this guy is well, tell him to stand up like Peter. Such as I have, I give him. He took him by the hand. He believed. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm a new creation. That's how you talk. I'm a new creation. All things are gone. All things are gone. You don't go back speaking like the old creation. Possible our conversation is in the heavens. The realities of the heavens, which is God's word. You see, that's our conversation. We only speak God's word. We don't speak anything lesser than God's word. Hallelujah to Jesus. You can get seated. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, I know who I am. I know who I am. We only speak God's word. And last scripture before we go. Romans 13, the last verse. I think 19 thereabout. And we pray. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you are there, let's read. I want everybody to pray with. Don't go home. I hope all of you are not going home. Are you going home? All right. Let's pray. Learn to end the service, isn't it? Now, we're going to read everyone. Want to go, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Can we see it in the Amplifier edition, everyone? Everyone in the Amplify, I want us to read. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Want to go, but clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus. No, even think about gratifying it. The flesh is regard to its improper desires. Meaning, don't talk about fleshy things. You come to church every day, people are talking the danger of secret sin. We have not finished excavating our realities in Christ. What are you talking about? How to break masturbation? That can never be a teaching. It's backwardness. Are you listening to me? In Christ, when you are synced into Christ, you will forget you're ever masturbating. I tell you the truth under heaven, I'm not lying to you. I was sharing with my wife. I think I shared it in church here. I said, growing up, everybody probably had their share of struggling in the flesh. I said, I told myself one day, I asked myself, what has really happened to me? I tell you the truth. I asked myself, what truly have happened to me? I can't remember. You know, I told my mother, I said, there was one time I want to force myself to be a sinner. It doesn't fit me. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. But Simon, you're sounding proud. It's not pride. It's not pride. Some people think that we're saying rubbish. He that the Son of God has made free is free indeed. He's free indeed. If anybody be in Christ, simple words, a new creation. All things are gone. All things are gone. Are you in Christ? You are a new creation. Listen, Simon is new. You can call your name. You are new. You are new. You are new. Entirely new. Everything about your life is new. 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 Your desires are new. Everything is new. Everything. 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 But clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus and make no provision. Not even should you think about them. You are new. Romans 6:6. The old man, the old body of sin, that old body of sin that had the potency to cause us to sin, it has been hung back to the tree. We know that our old self, our old human nature without the Holy Ghost, was nailed to the cross with him. With him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with. What do you say now, child of God? My body of sin has been done away with. It is gone. This new body does not sin. This new body cannot sin. This new body does not have the potency to sin. This is how you begin to think. The glory is in this thinking. You have the responsibility to think it. The actions will follow by default. In righteousness, in this thinking, you are established. In the thinking, you are far from oppression. Oh, go ahead and pray, somebody. Oh, go ahead and pray. Oh, go ahead and pray. Oh, rapakashan nebu lokutu. Barakasu bababa. Oh, rakata shabagaya. Rapako shaba ba 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 ba. Parakaba sharaba ba 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 ba. Onde tokaparaya. Go ahead and pray. 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 Shabaka Shalabragadia Kabaya. Thank you.
Shaba kanda baraka baba baya kosa baba 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 baya. Le baraka babon shaba baba 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 baba. Shaba kaba baba baba ya kara baba 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 ya. Shaba baba 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 baba. Raba baba 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 baba. Raba baba 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 baba. Raba kasha baba 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 ya. The new start with me. The new start with me. Like Daniel, I'm gonna take your responsibility. Adonai,
raps resound.
From Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.